Good afternoon, and thanks so much for tuning in to our midweek broadcast here at Shehalem Christian Fellowship. We're picking up in the book of Ezekiel. We're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 3 today. So if you have your Bible handy, just encourage you to open up to Ezekiel 3 and follow along with us as we get started here in just a moment. And just as a reminder, we do meet every Wednesday in person at the West Shehalem Friends Church. Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. The West Shehalem's Friend Church has been so gracious and kind to us to open their church for us to meet there every week for our Bible study. And being a mobile church, we continue to have these broadcasts of the teaching portion of our service put online for you before the message. It makes it hard for us, being a mobile church, to set up equipment and to stream live. But still want these teaching moments there for you so that you can keep up with the Bible study portion of our services if you miss it, but really would love to have you come out and join us in person. It's a wonderful time of fellowship, and we are able on Wednesdays to sing worship together, to hear His Word, to fellowship and gather together for prayer. We also have middle school time for our middle schoolers, for our high schoolers to also have their respective Bible studies. So do encourage you to come out there 6:30 p.m. every Wednesday. Also, on Fridays, we broadcast the teaching portion of our Sunday service. So Fridays at 4 p.m., you can tune in to the teaching portion of our message. We're currently in Romans. Lord willing, Micah intends to finish up Romans chapter 5 this week. So it's the same Bible study on Fridays that's going to be given out at our Sunday morning service at 10 a.m. this week, meeting at 14141 Northeast CUNY Road. So love to have you come out there and join us. Again, a great time of fellowship and worshiping the Lord together in song and in taking communion, breaking bread together, hearing the teaching of His Word, also some time for fellowship and prayer at the end of our services. So do commend that to you. Hope to see you out there on every Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our Sunday morning service. But until then, until I see you at the next service, let's jump into Ezekiel chapter 3 this afternoon. Ezekiel chapter 3. Now, as we're turning to Ezekiel, I also want to read to begin our message here from Isaiah chapter 55. I'm sure you know this scripture well, but it's always good to be reminded. Isaiah chapter 55 tells us, "As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord is good. It is profitable, it's useful, it's effective, and it's powerful. It always accomplishes His intent, His desires. When Paul left Ephesus, in his parting words to them back in Acts, we were there just a couple months ago, Acts chapter 20, when he was leaving Ephesus, he said, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." God's word, the word of His grace, is able to build you up. One of the purposes God has for His word is to build us up, to shape us, fashion us, edify us, fortify us, encourage us, strengthen us. His word effectively works in you who believe through His Holy Spirit. Now, as we approach our text in Ezekiel today, we're going to see that Ezekiel is commissioned by the Lord to speak His words faithfully. Furthermore, we're going to see that the Lord would cause him to be silent and only able to speak when it was God speaking through him, His word. Interestingly, Ezekiel's name means God strengthens. And Lord willing, as we look at our text today, we're going to see that Ezekiel needed God's strength for his work, for his ministry, for what the Lord had called him to do. And so do we. For every moment, every step, and every turn throughout the entirety of our life, we need His strength, and God will provide that strength as we continue to walk with Him by faith. when Paul wrote to us about the spiritual warfare in Ephesians chapter 6, that the spiritual warfare that we're all surrounded by, that we're never going to escape while we're on this earth, he began that section with a very simple command. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And Lord, we need your strength. We confess that today. Strength for every day, for every moment, for whatever it is that you've called us to do. And Lord, your word tells us that each of us are called, Lord, according to your purpose. And we're called as those who have put our faith in Jesus Christ and put our faith in you, Lord. You use us throughout our life. And I thank you, Lord, that you do these things. But Lord, help us to trust in you in them. Lord, help us to rely on your strength, not on our own. Help us to learn from Ezekiel today. Lord, we need your strength. We confess even to hear your word. So we commit ourselves back to you as we open your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have freely given to us, that you've filled us with. Now, Lord, help us to listen. Help us to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So last week, the book of Ezekiel opened with an intense vision of God, who Ezekiel saw seated on a throne, high above the firmament, high above the cherubim who came from within a bright and fiery whirlwind. And we were reminded last week that God is bigger. God is bigger. He is above all things. And what's more, interestingly, Job, in the book of Job, in chapter 26, he tells us that we've only seen the edges of his ways. He says, how small a whisper we have heard from him. And we even see, as Ezekiel saw the Lord, he only saw what the Lord allowed him to see. He only saw the brightness of his glory, but wasn't able to see distinct details. And even in that vision, God is bigger than even what he had revealed to Ezekiel, what he reveals to us in his word. We've only seen the edges of his ways. Isn't that amazing? But here, the vision continues in chapter 3. We left off as Ezekiel was told to eat what the Lord had given him in the end of chapter 2. Eat what I've given you. And he says, then a hand was stretched out, a scroll was in it with writings. It says, inside and outside. And that's how we ended chapter 2. The Lord is holding out a scroll for Ezekiel, and it says in verse 1 of chapter 3, moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat what you find, eat the scroll, and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with the scroll that I give you. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey and sweetness. And we're going to continue to read all the way down to verse 15, where it says in verse 4, he ate, it was like honey in his mouth, like sweetness. And he says, verse 4, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you're not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads, like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. Moreover, verse 10, he said to me, son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears, and go. Get to the captives, to the children of your people, and speak to them, and tell them, thus says the Lord, whether they hear or whether they refuse. Then the Spirit, verse 12, lifted me up, and I heard behind me a great thunderous voice. Blessed is the glory of the Lord from this place. I also heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and a great thunderous noise. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went and bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to the captives at Tel Abib, who dwelt by the river Kibar, and I sat where they sat, and I remained there astonished among them 7 days. So here in the first 15 verses of chapter 3, Ezekiel, he's instructed to feed on God's word and then to match the obstinacy of the house of Israel with persistence in speaking God's word to them. Be as stubborn to speak to them, thus says the Lord, as they are in refusing to listen, is what God is getting at here. Ezekiel, eat this scroll, verse 1. Eat this scroll and go and speak. The vision Ezekiel is seeing, it culminates in God's instructions to him to speak to his stubborn children. But to do this, Ezekiel was going to need something much more effective than his own words. He would need to be feeding on God's word. We also must let God's word be as food to us. Also in Job chapter 23, verse 12, Job said, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And do you remember, of course, Mary and Martha? There in the, I believe the story is in the Gospel of Luke, Martha serving, and frustrated because Mary wasn't. And what did Jesus say to her? He said, One thing is needful. And that one thing is what Mary had chosen to do, to sit and to feed on Jesus's words. Taking in his word is the prerequisite to being equipped to speak with any authority or any effectiveness, really to serve the Lord in any capacity at all. As 2 Timothy tells us in 2 Timothy, you can jot it down there, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Anything that you want to do in serving the Lord, God's word does the equipping. And oh, how we need to be equipped. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But how are we going to do it? How are we going to be strengthened by God? Well, first of all, strength comes from God's word. Strength comes from the Lord's word. Psalm chapter 119, verse 28 says, my soul melts from heaviness. And the psalmist prays there, strengthen me according to your word. That's where we get strength, directly from God's word. And so, verse 2, Ezekiel opened his mouth. It says, I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that scroll. I love this. I love these little tidbits tucked away here that illustrate, and we see them often in with Ezekiel, a lot of illustrations and pictures here of how there's a cooperative relationship between a man who wants to be used by the Lord, who's willing to be used by the Lord, and the Lord then doing the work through him. I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat. Other translations put it more simply and just say, he fed me. I opened my mouth and he fed me. Earlier it said in chapter 2, the Lord told him, stand on your feet. When he was revealing his glory to him, he says, stand on your feet and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit, it says, came, entered Ezekiel and set him on his feet. Lord, it reminds me of the prayer, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to eat the scroll. I can hear Ezekiel saying, help me to eat it. Lord, I want to be used by you. Lord, make me usable. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul said it this way. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to do for his good pleasure. Work out your own salvation because it's God who's working in you. And so Ezekiel, to Ezekiel, the Lord says, fill your stomach. Fill it up. Don't just snack. Don't just snack. Feast. Fill your stomach. Fill every corner of your inner being with his word. Don't just snack on it. And verse 3, it says, so I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. How sweet are your words to my taste, Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are your words, sweeter than honey in my mouth. Psalm 119, verse 103. And then the Lord says to Ezekiel, son of man, go and speak my words to them. See, Ezekiel, he would only be able to speak God's word as God's word was filling him up so much that he was overflowing with it. In verse 5, he says, you're not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech. Your mission field, Ezekiel, is right here at home, not overseas. Not in Hawaii, bummer. Not in Tarshish, not in Nineveh, not in Tyre or Sidon, not the Babylonians even, but right here among the captives who you're living with. That's where you're sent to, verse 6. And had I sent you to someone with a different language, had I sent you away, they would have listened, verse 6. They would have listened. Even Jesus said, no prophet is accepted in his own country. And we see that exemplified here in verse 7, where it says, the house of Israel will not listen because they're impudent and hard-hearted. But the Lord said, I still want you to go. I still want you to go. They're not going to listen, but you still need to go. You still need to speak. Don't abandon them. Don't abandon the hard-hearted. Don't abandon the hard-headed. God doesn't. It makes me think even this last weekend, Pastor Brett over there at Athey Creek, he packed out the Moda Center in the middle of Portland, in the middle of a city that many of us don't even want to drive through. We don't even want to walk around on the streets. Thousands gathered to hear the gospel, and many were born again right in the heart of a city that many have written off as too hard-headed, too hard-hearted, too stubborn, too liberal, too hard-headed, too far gone. But what if the Moda Center was packed out? What if all of Portland heard the gospel and yet still none of them believed, none of them listened? Well, in the case of Ezekiel here, and I think this is a good precedent for us, speak anyway, the Lord says. You still need to speak, even if they're not going to hear. Verse 8, for behold, it says, I have made your face strong against their faces. They're stubborn, Ezekiel, but I'm going to make you stubborner. God was the source of Ezekiel's strength. God strengthened him. Ezekiel, again, it means God strengthens. We also must be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we've already mentioned that strength comes from God's word, but also strength comes from God himself. You know the scripture well in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through 31, where he says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Lord gives power to the weak. The Lord strengthens through his word, but God is the one that gives the strength. So verse 9, he says, don't be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of them. Strength comes from his word. Strength comes from God himself. And strength does not always mean the absence of fear. Strength doesn't always mean the absence of fear. Who we trust and what we do in the shelter of that trust when we are afraid is so much more important than how we feel. And oftentimes, as we take action, how we feel changes. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. In the face of fear, go, be strong, be of good courage. Don't be afraid. Strength of the Lord does not always mean that fear, all fear is necessarily just going to go away the way we feel, but we ought to take action in spite of that. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, and receive into your heart, verse 10, all the words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears. Any person who wants to speak for God must first be diligent to listen to God. The desire to listen must be greater than the desire to speak. I've also heard it said this way: he who loses his ability to learn forfeits his right to teach. Be quick to hear, slow to speak. No apostle ever graduates from being a disciple. Every sent one forever remains a student as well. So hear with your ears, Ezekiel. Hear, and then verse 11, go speak. Whether they hear or whether they refuse, again emphasizing that the onus, Ezekiel, is on you. The onus is on you to preach. You can't change their hearts. Only God can do that. You can only do your part in being faithful to speak my words. So verse 12, the Spirit lifted me up, it says, and he heard a thunderous voice behind him, and the Spirit lifted him up, and verse 14, took him away. The vision is over, at least for now. The vision ends. There's thunderous worship, an intense noise, and then it says at the end of this, in verse 15, he went. I came to the captives of Tel Abib, who dwelt by the river Kibar, and I sat there where they sat and remained astonished among them for 7 days. Very reminiscent of Job's friends. You remember the first and the best thing that Job's friends ever did was they came to Job and they sat where he sat for 7 days and didn't say a word. So too Ezekiel here, he sits with the captives, astonished. He was weak. He was vulnerable like anyone, in desperate need to be made strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we continue here in verse 16, and we'll read verse 16 through 21, where it says, it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sins, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning. Also you have delivered your soul. After 7 days sitting with the captives by the river Kibar, the Lord ordained Ezekiel, called him a watchman, and he warns him that he will hold him accountable to his ministry, where he says in verse 16, it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, he sat with the captives for 7 days before the word of the Lord came to him. We have to be strong. We must be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we've learned that strength comes from his word. We've learned that strength comes from God himself. And strength, it doesn't mean the absence of fear, but also strength is often displayed, as we see here. Strength is often displayed in silence. Strength is often displayed in silence. Or to say it another word, silence is not necessarily weakness. Sometimes it's not saying something that takes great faith. It doesn't always take great strength to say something, but it does often take great strength to not say anything. It's hard for us Americans. Silence is uncomfortable. We often feel obligated to fill the silence, to say something, to say anything, rather than to be silent, rather than to listen or to pray or to wait. I've already quoted Isaiah 40, verse 31, where it says, "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." Also in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, it says there, "In returning and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." There is great strength in quietness, in confidence, confidence not in yourself, of course, confidence in the Lord. Who, verse 17, to Ezekiel says, "I have made you a watchman." The Hebrew word behind this word watchman, it gives us some great insight into Ezekiel's ministry. The idea is to lean forward, to peer into the distance, to observe, and to await. It's the same office of those who would be stationed on the wall of a city to give warning when they saw danger was coming. And verse 18, he says, "When I say to the wicked that you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, I will require it at your hand." Just like a city's watchman, if they're not paying attention, they're responsible for the danger that comes upon the city. So too, Ezekiel, you're going to be responsible for this. I will require it at your hand. Don't fall asleep on the job, Ezekiel. You'll be held accountable for your part in this. Paul, he spoke similarly of the responsibility that we have, all of us have, in preaching the gospel. In Romans chapter 10, Romans 10 verses 14 and 15, he said, "How shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've never heard? And how shall they hear if no one preaches? And how will they preach if no one sends them?" Not all of us are Ezekiel's, not all of us are Paul's or Peter's or Timothy's or John's, but all of us are a part of the gospel work, because all of us are a part of Jesus's body. Different activities, different giftings, different ways to manifest what God is doing, but we're all part of the same body. And Romans furthermore says in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us not be found burying our talents, wasting the treasures that have been entrusted to us." He will require it, like he requires it of Ezekiel. Yet, verse 19, "If you warn the wicked, he shall die. But you," he says, "have delivered your soul." Now, I want to point out something in this. Something that's hopefully apparent to us all, but it's always worth being reminded of. No soul is ever delivered in the sense of eternal life and eternal death by faithfulness in ministry. You see, we need to approach the entirety of the scripture from the vantage point of Jesus Christ through the gospel, for the entirety of the Bible speaks of Jesus. So if we leave Jesus behind in any of these passages, we also leave behind the very substance of what it's saying. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 make it clear, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness, and he has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." That's where deliverance comes from. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love through his blood. Deliverance of our souls is always and has always and will always be only through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. However, faithfulness in one's ministry, faithfulness to what one has been called to by the Lord, is still something that we are going to be held accountable for, each and every one of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10 says, "Therefore, we make it our aim to be pleasing to him. Whether we're present with him or absent in this body, we make it our aim to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to to what he has done, whether good or bad. Salvation by grace through faith, it does not preclude our responsibility and our accountability to walk with him. We have further evidence right here in Ezekiel in verse 20, where he says, again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness, he shall die. You see, the righteous, they need warnings too, not just the unrighteous man, but the righteous, they also need to be warned. What is it that we're learning in the book of Romans? The just, the righteous shall live by faith. This is foundational to our life in him. And it's not just foundational. In other words, it's not just the beginning. It's the beginning. It's the middle. It's the end. It's both the foundation and the structure, the entire structure of our life with him. If the righteous turn from their righteousness, turn from what makes them righteous, there's no other way. There's no safety in walking away from the Lord. There's no safety in embracing iniquity. There's no safety in walking in the flesh. What did Paul say to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19? He says, let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. There's no safety embracing iniquity. You see, salvation by grace through faith does not preclude our responsibility and our accountability to walk with him and to do so continually by faith. We have to be strong in the Lord, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Strength comes from his word. Strength comes from God himself. It doesn't mean the absence of all fear. It's often displayed. Strength is often displayed in silence, but also, as we see here, strength in the Lord is a continual need. Strength in the Lord is a continual need. We never graduate from our dependence on him. It's no coincidence that in that same chapter where Paul says, let those who name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he begins that chapter saying, you therefore, be strong in the Lord. Excuse me, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul also wrote in Colossians, being burdened to pray for the Colossians, a prayer that's also needful for all of us, one that we ought to pray, where he says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. We need to be strong, and strength is a continual need. Strength in the Lord is something we always need. How desperate is our continual need to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might? Well, that brings us now to the last section of the chapter, where we pick up in verse 22. It says here, then the hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, arise, go out into the plain, and there I will talk with you. So I arose, and I went out into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, like the glory which I saw by the river Kebar, and I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered me, and he set me on my feet, and he spoke with me, and he said to me, go, shut yourself inside your house, and you, son of man, surely they will put ropes on you, and they will bind you with them, so that you cannot go among them. I will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth, so that you shall be mute and not be one to rebuke them, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with you, I will open your mouth, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, he who hears, let him hear, and he who refuses, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house. Ezekiel now instructed to shut himself inside his house while the people bind his body and the Lord binds his tongue. He says there in verse 22, arise, go into the plain, and there I will talk with you. Having spent 7 days sitting among the captives, Ezekiel, now he's directed to go out, as it were, into the wilderness, into the plains, to hear from the Lord. And he says in verse 23, the glory of the Lord stood there like the glory I saw by the river Kibar. Presumably then, he's enveloped by another vision, like what we've already seen. And there the Lord directs him, something awfully strange for one who's called so specifically to speak so persistently. He says in verse 24, go shut yourself inside your house. God's ways are so much higher than our ways. They aren't always going to make sense, and that's okay. We must be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Strength comes from His word. Strength comes from Him, from God Himself. Strength doesn't mean the absence of all fear. Strength is often displayed in silence. Strength in the Lord is a continual need. And here we see that strength is developed in obedience. Strength is developed in obedience, whether it makes sense or whether it doesn't. Proverbs chapter 3 says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health for your soul. It will be strength for your bones. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. Obeying Him builds strength. Proverbs 3, verses 7 through 8. Obedience, like a good workout, it makes us stronger. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says, bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. I love that he puts godliness next to bodily exercise, showing us that it takes work. Obedience takes work, and strength is developed in obedience, even when, verse 25, it doesn't go the way we want it to go. In verse 25, where it says, they will put ropes on you that bind your body, and I, verse 26, will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth. They're going to bind your body. I'm going to shut your mouth. This might seem a little bit strange, given what the Lord has just commanded him. Up until now, the emphasis has been on Ezekiel's responsibility to speak persistently, and that Ezekiel would be accountable if he failed to warn the righteous and the unrighteous both alike. And now God is forcing his mouth shut. What gives? God's not allowing him to speak. I believe it's simply this. Ezekiel's called to be faithful, and that faithfulness is only going to be possible through the Lord's empowering. Verse 27, he says, when I speak with you, I will open your mouth. Earlier we've seen, he said, get up, Ezekiel, and then he lifted him up. He said, eat the scroll, Ezekiel. And then he caused him to eat it. Each command was followed by the empowering to fulfill it. He said, speak, Ezekiel. And then he promised to be the one to do the speaking through him. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 says, it's God's very word that works effectively in us who believe. And as we've already noted, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. God who works in you both to will and to do, to both have the desire and the ability to accomplish His good pleasure. And that's why in Hebrews ends in Hebrews chapter 13, the author of Hebrews there, Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21, he says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, may he make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It is he who is working in you that which is pleasing in his sight. So verse 27. Then he who hears, let him hear. and he who refuses, let him refuse. God does the work in changing the heart. Ezekiel, you, I, Ezekiel, any of us, we can only do our part by speaking his word. If they refuse, if they hear, they hear, but they're not hearing you, they're hearing the Lord. If they refuse, they're not refusing you, they're refusing the Lord. For 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul told us, we're ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf. He said, be reconciled to God. We're ambassadors, 2 Corinthians 5:20. And so for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. That's in Romans chapter 11. We're his ambassadors. When God does through us what only God can do, only God gets the glory. We offer our weakness. He does the strengthening. He gets all the glory. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and know that it's through God's word. Strength comes through God's word. Strength comes from God himself. Strength doesn't mean the absence of fear. Strength is often displayed in silence. Strength is a continual need, and strength is developed in obedience. As we walk in him with weakness, he is faithful to make us strong. Just as he said to Paul, and just as he demonstrated through Ezekiel here, so he promises to each and every one of us, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Lord, we admit we're weak. Lord, we thank you that when we are weak, you are strong through us. And so, Lord, we continue to walk with you. We ask for your help. You have given us your spirit, and we thank you for that. So, Lord, let us now walk in your spirit, through your spirit. Lord, help us in whatever ministry you've put before us, whether it's speaking, whether it's serving, whether it's giving, and Lord, many other ways that you work through your body, Lord, whatever that is. We recognize, Lord, that you want to work through us. So help us to be those who rely on your strength, who give ourselves fully to you, knowing, Lord, that you can use us broken and empty vessels. Fill us up with your word. Help us to get into your word, to read your word, to ingest it, to digest it, and let it transform and shape our lives, Lord. We thank you that you do that work in us. So we give ourselves back to you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' precious name, God bless you.